Proverbs chapter 4 again. Proverbs chapter 4. We're going to be speaking on the subject of strength. Strength. Everybody say strength. That was weak. Everybody say strength. Proverbs 4, 5 through 12 says, get wisdom, get understanding, do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you to honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. Praise God. And so we've been stating the last several weeks, this month, that vision is the unfolding and revealing of God's master plan, whereas direction is steps you take to accomplish it. So our overarching sermon series has been wisdom and divine direction. Divine direction is a lifetime demand. So you and I never get to the point where we will no longer require direction. Everybody say direction. So we've seen in the past weeks the word of wisdom for your prayerful and wise consideration is, first, we said the word start. Everybody say start. So we must wisely decide to start according to the leading and direction of God. What are we supposed to do? Too many are behind schedule and the timing of God for their lives. So we need to start obeying God. We need to start trusting God. We need to, and his purpose and plan for your life, start believing and expecting from God. Understand that God, our Father, cares more about who you become before what you do. We often said who before do, why before what? Because motives matter to God. When we decide to start, we enable the Lord to give us power, the power to become who he has created and called us to be. Secondly, we talked about stop. Everybody say stop. So we must understand that there's just as many divine stops as there are divine starts or goes. So we need to do prayerfully and wisely consider and decide to stop. What do we need to do to stop? When are we going to decide to stop? Wisdom and divine direction helps us cut off and separate from the wrong things and the wrong people and direction, and we enable the Lord with the power to discern righteous things, righteous people, wise people, and stay away from the foolish and unwise people. Amen. We glean godly discernment to know good from evil. Evil meaning anything that takes you away from your God-intended purpose. Evil is anything that takes you away from God's intended purpose. If you are on such and such, you know, you can say video games, social media, and you spend a protracted period of time and you're not doing the will and work of God for your life, that social media platform becomes evil to you. Does everybody understand that? Godly versus ungodly, light versus darkness, excellence versus mediocrity, good, acceptable, and perfect will of God for your life. Thirdly, grow. Everybody say grow. So last week we talked about grow. So what we must wisely and accurately ascertain is the fact that God is more interested in our growing up than just going up. Many people want to go up to the next level, to the next status, to the next title, position. But if we're growing up, going up without growing up, then we end up blowing up. So we must decide to grow not to the size of our pain or our problems, but to the level of your potential. Most people only grow to the size of their pain and their problems. They change when there's pain, when there's a problem that comes into their life experience. But grow intentionally to the level of your potential. There's limited potential to grow in everybody's life in this room right now. In Jesus' name. That's a good place to say amen. So your growth helps your family grow and your church family grow. You not growing hinders your family and your church family. Amen. So when we wisely decide to grow, we choose to trust the process. Everybody say, trust the process. The process of God, which is in the midst of pain, problems, pressures, and in our experience of life, we still trust the process. It might not be fun to get up at 5:30 and get in the gym, but you got to trust the process. Amen. I'm just talking naturally, analogy, so you understand that no pain, no gain. Because many people have a why, but they're asking the wrong why. Because God uses that situation to make you better. The devil tries in that situation to make you bitter. Everybody say, grow up. So we understand that our Father God works all things together for our what? Good. He plans for us good and not, his plans for us is good, is not evil. Jeremiah 29:11 is still relevant and real to your life today. He uses the pain, problems, and pressures to make us better and not bitter. Somebody say, glory to God. So friends, we need to understand these things. We should be very interested in how we are growing, not just settling for a summation of how we are going. Because most times we ask the question, how's it going? We should add on to that and say, how are you growing? So I believe today the word of wisdom, because we've been using one word for us to focus on, today's word, the wisdom and divine direction for our lives is strength. Everybody say strength. So why is that a word, Pastor? Well, let's look at, again, our scripture we used last week, how Jesus grew, Luke 2:40, and the child grew and became what? Strong in spirit. Strong in spirit. See it right there?
Yes.
Everybody say strong.
Strong.
In spirit. Filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. And it says in verse 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom, stature, and in favor with God and man. So sometimes we bypass the fact that Jesus grew up strong spiritually. We need strength. Everybody say, we need strength.
We need strength.
See, we said last week in one part of the message that many people struggle with indecision. They're not strong enough to make a decisive choice that I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust the process. I'm going to stay faithful. Come on now. I'm going to stay strong through the situation. Because they're wavering. They're indecisive. See, the challenges too many of us have today is the illusion of too many options. There's always things going to be pulling and vying for your time, your attention, and your energy. Amen. So to last this year, I want to tell you one key word. I suggested is you need to possess strength. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need to possess strength. Turn to someone else next to you and say, how strong are you? So to last long and strong this year, you need strength. I believe there's supernatural strength out of heaven to be received today. So leading and languishing is in the day-to-day duties, details, and drudgery will drain you of strength. Just life itself, because everybody's busy. Leading, if you got responsible for leading your family, leading your peers, leading in your work and career capacity, and then the struggles that we all face at some time to time. In the day-to-day duties, details, and drudgery will drain you of strength. You desperately need to last long and strong this year. So I believe, and I'm suggesting to you, that without spiritual strength, you won't be able to do two things we need to be able to do well. Number one, without strength, your faith won't be able to receive from God. Hebrews 11:11, it says, by faith, Sarah also herself received what? Strength to conceive. See, and she was born of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. So by her faith, she received what? Strength. What do we have to do? We, by faith, have to receive what? Strength to believe, strength to receive. Faith is a receiver. Some people only have hope. Hope's a good waiter, but it's a poor receiver. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, he says to me, my grace, he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I most gladly I will boast in my infirmities and that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Secondly, without strength, your faith won't be able to resist the devil. We said it before. Many of us know the scripture by heart. Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. James 4:7 says, resist the devil and he will what? Flee from you. In other words, we said it, we put them together and say, without joy, you have no strength. And without strength, you can't resist. And if the devil doesn't resist, he won't flee. And if he doesn't flee, you don't win. In other words, you got to have strength to resist. Because Peter tells us in 1 Peter 5:8-9, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, your opponent, a foe, one who is arrayed against you, the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him. Don't play with him. Resist him. If you're not strong, you don't have strength to resist. If you're not strong, you won't have strength to receive. The miracles and the manifestation of the promises that God has for you and me this year. How did Sarah do it? By faith, she received strength to conceive when she was past the childbearing age. Because, see, friends, these two things God won't do for you and me. God won't receive for us. Grace. The Bible says in James 4:6, he gives more grace, grace upon grace. I mean, there's so much grace being poured out, but it's only good to you if you receive it. God's empowering touch, you know, grace to stay saved, grace to stay strong, grace to stay sanctified, grace to keep serving, grace to keep sharing and giving generously. You need to receive. Because faith is a receiver. We often said grace makes, but faith takes. And faith takes what grace has made. Grace by grace, everybody in this room is generous. But you have to receive that grace of generosity. Are you listening to me? If not, you won't have strength to tithe when you have tough times. When things are tight. Financially, you won't tithe because why? You don't have strength. Are you listening to me? God won't resist the devil for us either. He told us to do it. Amen. James 4:7, 1 Peter 5:8-9. We just read it. You got to resist him. Everybody say, I've got to resist the devil. The devil's just not going to let you open the door this year and say, well, go ahead and do everything God's called you to do. He's going to stand directly opposed to you. And I'll say it again, and I'll say it again and again. If the devil can't make you bad, because that's what his objective is to make you bad, or he makes you busy. And so when he makes you busy, that's the light, deceptive, white cloud, white noise kind of deception. Because he gets you so busy and strung out, you have no strength. And without no strength, you can't receive and you can't resist. You can't receive from God and you can't resist the devil. Amen. Why? Why? This is one of the big whys. One, strength is needed to love, lead, learn, and to last long and strong. You can see people getting weak. It's just very obvious. They're weak. They can't praise God. They stop professing the Word of God. They stop reading the Word of God. They stop serving faithfully. They stop sowing financially. Strength. No strength. Because God, the devil is resisting you, but you got to resist him. And his temptation is to wear you out. That's one of the signs of the times in the last day. Satan is going to wear the saints out. And like the Holy Spirit says it to me very direct in Arkansas terminology sometimes. The Satan is whipping people's butts. He's wearing them out. Because he's not making them bad. He's making them so busy that they can't even see straight. And the testimony of too many saints is I'm tired. When he is our strength. Everybody say, he is my strength. Because people don't connect the who and they start to do. Whatever my child's getting in, I'm doing that. I'm doing that. Whatever my job's telling me, I'm doing that. And whatever. And we're giving all this energy and effort for what in the natural is going on, and then we miss the opportunity to stay strong supernaturally in the spiritual realm. Psalms 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help and trouble. Psalms 27:1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is, not going to be, not someday might be. He is the strength of my life. But what does your faith have to do? You have to receive that. Of whom shall I be afraid? Supernatural strength out of heaven. I'm not just talking about natural strength. Secondly, strength is provided by the Lord to the faint and the weak. Look at Psalms 29:11. The Lord, in the Amplified Version, says the Lord will give unyielding and impenetrable strength. Unyielding. What? Yielding to what? Yielding to the temptation to be tired. To run off the rails and run off the reservoir. To stop doing what God told you to do. The temptation to get into sin, which is evil, or to get in other things that you're unauthorized to do to make you tired. He will give unyielding and impenetrable strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with what? Peace. Look at Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. I'm reading out of the King James. Through 31, he says, "He hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? Has the everlasting God, the Lord created the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary?" So he's the ever energized one. He's the all the time strengthened, strong one. There's no searching for his understanding. He gives power to who? The faint. And to them that have no might, he increases what? Strength. He increases our strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait on the Lord, he shall renew their strength. Everybody should be getting renewed. What is that telling us? You're not going to stay full of strength. Particularly if you go without praying and without reading the Word, feeding on the Word. You get so drained spiritually, and you won't even know it, and your body takes over, and then when your body hits a wall, then everything else is wild, out of control. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be, what? Weary. That means God wants us to run and not run and wear out. We keep running. Now, one of the wisdom of racing and running, because I did both cross-country and track in high school, you don't run a long distance race like you do a sprint. Now, if you run back then it was 220. Sorry, I know it's meters now. I'm dating myself. It's a 200, 400. You don't run a 200 or 100 like you run a mile or 2 miles. Because if you give out all at the beginning, you ain't going to have nothing left. But God says to us, run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not, what? Faint. There's too many saints fainting. and falling. Fainting and weakness lead to quitting and giving up. You don't endure or last. You quit receiving from God. You quit resisting the devil, sin, and temptation. You just quit. You lay down and say, oh, okay, Mr. Devil, I know it's you. Come on in. Third, spiritual strength is sustaining during adversity or affliction. Spiritual strength is sustaining during adversity or affliction. Again, Proverbs 24:10 says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your what? Your strength is full. When you faint, in other words, quit, give up. And there's too many words that have been said last year. I'm quitting. I'm giving up. I'm going to pull back. Why is that coming out of your mouth? Well, pray everybody's quiet today. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I thank you that I heard from heaven. I believe I heard from heaven today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 18:14. The strong spirit of a man. What? The strong. Is he talking about muscles? No, he's talking about your spirit, man. See, we got to flip the script. We got to live from the inside out. Most people spend all their energy and effort on the outside man and not the inside man. He said the strong spirit of a man sustains him in what? Two things, bodily pain or trouble. Everybody goes through trouble. We went through a lot of trouble last year, Pastor Cynthia and I. But we didn't miss. Because we know the priority is spiritual strength. Amen. Physical strength and physical circumstances may come, and they will come. But you got to stay strong spiritually. Everybody say, stay strong spiritually. The strong spirit of a man or woman will sustain him or her in bodily pain or trouble. But a weak and broken spirit, what's that? Who can raise up or bear? You can't even hold a person together or even help a person who is weak and broken. Fourth, strength is a command. Strength is a command. Everybody say strength is a command. Is commanded. Ephesians 6:10, Amplified Version. I'll read it because it really spells it out. In conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with him. Draw your strength from him. Where you draw your strength from? Him. How much are you drawing on every day? Now, everybody in this room has a cell phone or some sort of device that needs to be charged. And so, how many go days and days without charging your phone? It doesn't function unless it's charged. You don't function right unless you're spiritually charged. Amen? You go from function to dysfunction or dysfunctional because you're not spiritually charged. You got to draw your strength from where? Your union with Christ. Draw your strength from him. That strength with his, which his boundless might provides. Fifth, strength can be procured through prayer. Now notice the two prayers. We pray them all oftentimes during our corporate prayer or pre-service prayer times. And many of us are familiar with them. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Praise the Lord. Everybody say strength. Ephesians chapter 3. The second prayer. In verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened. Everybody see that? Strengthened with might. Strengthened with what? Might. Might is just the ability to accomplish anything possible or impossible. You might have a bucket load of things to do in the natural. How are you going to get it done with efficiency and effectiveness and excellence that glorifies God? Because our mandate is to redeem time. But some of us think, I don't have enough time. I'm out of time. Well, might helps you accomplish anything possible or impossible. But you've got to be strengthened with might by his Holy Spirit in your, where? Your inner man. Not the outer man. Because if you just look at the outer man, you'll say, I'm tired. I'm torn between all these obligations. I'm running around with my head cut off. Remember, if the devil can't make you bad, he makes you busy. Where you say, I don't have enough time. Amen. I'm trying to give me that statement again, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. I'll try to articulate like you said. He said, if you don't have enough time to do what he wants you to do, then you don't have enough time to do anything else. I'll say it again. That's what the Holy Spirit said to me right now. He reminded me of a statement. If you don't have time to do his will and his work for your life, you don't have time to do anything in your life. What am I saying? You need to have strength to stay on point and stay in purpose and the plan of God for your life. You don't need to be doing all these other things that drain you. Strengthen with might. Everybody needs to be praying these prayers. Because you need to stay strengthened. Because when all those requests come, can you do this? Can you come here and do this? Can you be involved in this? And you're wearing yourself out because the devil's tricking you. And you're not doing God what God's told you to do. And then when you have to give an account, you can't look at me and say, Pastor Ed didn't tell me that. No. You've been told. Doing the will of God is top priority. Doing the work of God is top priority for a Christian believer because Jesus is our Lord. He's our master. He's our owner. He's the one who gets the right, has the right to tell us what to do. Woo! Glory to God. And Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints the breadth, length, depth, height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge that we might be filled with all the what? Fullness of God. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think according to the what? Power, the strength that works inside of us. Strength inside of you helps you to receive and helps you to resist the incursions of the enemy. Now let's look at Colossians chapter 1. Everybody good? Yes. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 1 is another prayer you need to pray every time, a lot of times. For this cause, we're going to read verses 9 through 11. Again, reading out of King James. For this cause, so all the days we heard it, do not cease to pray for you that desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual what? Understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. This is awesome. Strengthen with all might. There it is again. Strengthen with all. How what? All. That word might again. But then he gives us a description of what this might manifests. Might, according to his glorious power. Whose power? His glorious power unto all three things. Patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Strength that provides what? Patience to deal with problems. Patience to deal with problems. Patience, we said, is not just drumming your fingers on the table and putting up with. It is cheerful endurance. That means you don't lose your joy in your journey through a problem. Patience with problems. That means you're consistent. That's also a word that means consistency. You're constantly consistent. That means you're going through stuff, but nobody really can tell. Because you're still on time. You're still talking the right way. You're still thinking the right way. Because patience is having its perfect work through you. Because you're strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience. All patience. Patience to deal with problems. Long suffering to deal with people. Because sometimes you got people that's like relational vampires. They're trying to suck the life out of you. They're trying to suck the strength out of you. But you have long suffering. Long suffering to deal with people. That you don't let people pull you off or pull you down or put you down. And you lose your strength because you get offended or you get in walking unforgiveness or you get in some strife. And those are absolutely, positively drainers of strength. Long suffering so you can deal with people. Might be a boss, might be a brother, might be a sister, might be a family member, might be a parent, might be a child. You know, long-suffering. You need strength to be long-suffering so you don't get angry real quick and get out of instant forgiveness and unconditional love. You walk around with junk in your trunk and grudges and offenses in your heart. Come on now. You don't have the strength. You've yielded. You can't resist the temptation to get offended because you're quick to get hurt. Joy to deal with the pressures of life. We know James 1 tells us to count it all joy. What? When you fall into what? Diverse temptations. In other words, that word temptations is the just word that just summation means pressure. Pressure. The devil's not bringing you relief. He's bringing you pressure. So stop looking like you're under pressure all the time. Pressure to get you depressed and to get you discouraged. But the joy of the Lord is your strength. And with the strength that you have from the joy of the Lord, spiritual strength, you can resist. And like we said, don't make decisions under pressure. You're yielding to the devil's stimulus or his input into you. That's why wisdom and wise decision making is so critical to be strong, because you need to have that strength to resist the pressure of the circumstance. When you make a decision to walk away from God or to stay away from God or step down from the things of God, you're yielding to pressure. You're trying to relieve the pressure or anesthetize that pressure, and you're not looking for to go through and be promoted because of the pressure. Everybody say strength. Does everybody see what I'm talking about today? Now, let me close this up and go come on with this point of understanding. You got it in your understanding the dynamics of life and mission. Now, I'm going to talk some practical here so you can get it. You can get it. Everybody say you can get it. All right. So the question I wish to ask you today, friends, if Philippians 4:13 is true, then why are so many Christian believers and Christ followers tired and weary in doing good? With their time in submitting, surrendering, and serving God, with their talent in serving God, and with their treasure in their generous giving of their tithes and offerings, in serving, supplying, sowing, and supporting the things of God. We should never get tired of it. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through what? Christ, who what?
Strengthens me.
So we must learn that God is infinite and we are not. Well, I was a good church member. Faithfulness never says I was. I was a good tither. Faithfulness never says I was. Faithfulness is always in the now. Jesus gave us the length of how faithful we are to be. He said in Revelation, be faithful unto death. That means you start faithful and you end faithful, fully faithful. And God has the strength to keep you and me faithful. See, we need his strength. Everybody say, we need his strength. See, we're told as well in the word not to grow weary in doing good. Doing good with our time, doing good with our talent, doing good with our treasure. Galatians 6:9 says it, let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So if you sprint and you think life this year is a sprint, you'll sprint out and January will be really good. You'll be here, you'll be checked in, engaged. But when February comes, the football gets dropped. The faithfulness falls apart. God's not interested in you starting strong only. He's interested in you starting strong and finishing strong and finishing well. Amen? Somebody say praise the Lord. Don't grow weary. If you're growing weary, you lost your strength. For in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. All right? Let's look at 2 Thessalonians 3:13. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. So this is a directive. This is not a suggestion. It's divine direction from God's word. We're not supposed to get tired. We're not supposed to become spiritually fatigued or spiritually dehydrated, exhausted, weary, and faint spiritually. The imperative and the instruction to us today, friends, is strength. What's your strength level at? There's video gamers. I know there's some video gamers in the room today. And they know when they have a person that has the lifeblood or the life, and then when they get on red, they know I'm losing my strength. I need to, what do you call it? Power up. How many video gamers can attest to that? You got to power up. You got to power up spiritually. Are you powering up every day? Are you powering up with the word and in prayer to God? Because God gives you an avenue to draw your strength from him. Whew. Here's some other things to understand about the dynamics of life. First, God gives you strength and energy for today and for life. So he's already given you strength for today, tomorrow, this week, this rest of this month, and the rest of this year, and for life long term. See, some people think it's a sprint. I got to run out and do stuff real hard. And then that I build enough credit or credibility that I run hard at the beginning, but now I can fall apart and fade away in the middle. You won't last. There's too many believers on a spiritual junk heap. Psalm 90 verse 12 tells us, teach us to number our days so that we may gain our heart of wisdom. In other words, you got to understand what time or timing I have left. Because what you do with time matters in eternity. God told us to do what? Redeem the time. That means make most of the opportunity. Sometimes we have an opportunity to come to church Wednesday night, but we take the time to stay at home or stay away. Amen. Ouch, I'm preaching real good. You're preaching real good, Pastor. We have a time to step up and serve up or do something good, but we miss that opportunity. Psalms 90 verse 12 says, help us remember that our days are numbered and help us to interpret our lives correctly. Set your wisdom deeply in your heart so that you may not accept, that we may accept your correction. Like I said, 2019 is not a sprint, it's a marathon. If you don't run a marathon like a sprint. You can't use up all your strength and energy in the first month of the year. Or like some people do, once they get their tax money back, they're running and gunning. And it looks like their hair is on fire along with their wallet. Don't shout me down. I'm preaching real good right now. Some people are looking forward to that big payday. But see, we ought to be looking for the eternal payday. When we hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. See, if you lack wisdom on the front end, your lack of wisdom on the front end causes you to lose energy on the back end. If you don't use wisdom on the front end this year, you lack the energy in the back end this year, and you'll have the testimony, like I said earlier, I'm tired. Lord, you know, Pastor, you know what I've been going through. And we said excuses is usually the thin skin of falsehood stretched tightly over a bald-faced lie. So we give an alibi. An alibi is a lie. I can't do this because I'm stretched. I'm so busy. What are we saying? I'm tired. I'm too tired to do the will of God, the work of God for my life. Because I work, because I got this responsibility. I got these things going on. I got all this happening. The excuse is a thin skin of falsehood stretched tightly over a bald-faced lie. An alibi is a lie. We all been given the gift of time. We all have 24 hours a day. We all have direction and wisdom from God. It It's important for do we let wisdom teach us to number our days, to maximize our time for Him. Some of us can blink and spend time on their phone an hour. They can blink and spend time on a video game for an hour. Blink and spend time a couple of hours watching shows and movies and Netflix and Hulu and YouTube and games, sports games and stuff. You can blink and do it. Lord, teach us to number our days. Hallelujah. Second, God gives you strength and energy to accomplish His purpose and plan in the time frame He gives you. We're in the last of the last days, guys. It was said late last year, we have to have a sense of urgency. We can't be casual in our Christianity. We can't cool off and calm down because we got so much chaos and critical things going on in our lives. We got to put Him first. We got to seek Him first. We got to keep Him at the top. Because otherwise we just make excuses by not doing what God's called us to do. What we're saying is, I'm tired. I'm not strong. See, energy, this is physics 101 for those who are interested. Energy is either dynamic, it's good, or static, it's neutral, or it's anthropic, which is not good, or chaotic. What kind of energy is working through your life? If you're static, then your neutral can turn to negative real quick. You need to be dynamic because there's dynamics to life and ministry. And remember, the two objectives of the devil he desires to see and fulfill when he tempts you or he pressures you is one, to make you bad. So you drift to the dark side, you do sin and disobey God. You know what God told you to do, you're disobedient. Or he makes you busy. So you get exhausted, worn out, weary. Expend all your strength and energy outside the purpose and plan of God for life. So when you come to church or you come to serve God, you're trying to give God leftover energy. Low energy or no energy. Amen. He gets you to doing too many good things and even carnal things to drain your strength and energy so you quit doing His will, quit doing the work of God for your life. You end up not redeeming your time, but you squander and waste your time until you run out of time. Like I said, some are way behind schedule because the scripture even said you ought to have been teachers. You ought to have been here. But you're here. Amen. Because we haven't harnessed the strength and energy to do course correction and to do now in time what will make a big difference in eternity. The most precious commodity everybody in this room has been given is time. Will you use it to serve the Lord? To keep the Lord first place? See, God expects you to be a good steward, third, over your strength and energy and gives it to you to use wisely today and in life. Why? Why does He give you strength and energy to do in today and in life? You know, when you're younger, you know, you always go hard physically. You can work doubles. I mean, I remember when I was a young restaurant manager, I could work doubles. I can work 9 days straight, 10 days straight. But then you run out of energy and strength. What did He say in Isaiah 40? Even the youth shall what? Faint and be weary. What was I focusing on? I was focused on physical energy and physical strength. See, you always think without wisdom, you just whip it with strength. But you can't whip life with strength physically. You got to win in life by using wisdom and strength spiritually. Somebody said, glory to God. Because when you're physically tired and exhausted, it's difficult for you to yield to the anointing and the power of God. That's why people don't pray. People don't read the Bible. They're tired. They're tired in the morning. They don't get up. And so they run out of time or they don't take the time to feed their spirit. And some of you, we encourage you to go along with us in the Bible reading schedule. Why? So that we can keep each other accountable. That we're taking the time or making the time to read. and feed the Bible. Jesus said, man shall not live by what? Bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. If you're not feeding on spiritual food, you're by default feeding on spiritual junk. And it's going to drain you. Somebody say, glory to God. If you're not praying, you're not getting empowered. Because when you're physically tired and exhausted, it's difficult to yield to the anointing and the power of God. Your faith stays dormant, and you can't receive from God, and you can't grip the promises of God, and you can't resist the devil when he knocks on your front door and says, here I am, I'm here to harass you today and hinder you today. Amen. Two, because when you're weak and worn out and spiritually weak, weary spiritually, it's difficult to receive from God and resist the devil. You need spiritual strength. Somebody nudge somebody next to you and look at them and say, you need spiritual strength and energy, not just physical strength. See, many of us do anything we take so we can keep on going to that next event, that next runaround project, that next idea, that next thing, that next. And we put coffee in our system. We even drink caffeinated beverages. We do all kinds of stuff to keep our physical man going. But what are you doing to keep your spiritual man strong? See, you got to have energy and strength from your heart, not just energy and strength in your body. Because, see, you can do church and do ministry from your head and even teach even from your head, but you can't minister unless it's from your heart. We often say, if you're in a platform, if you're in a ministry position, you have to minister out of the overflow of your heart. If you're singing, you should sing out of the overflow of your heart. Because you can sing from your head and your vocal cords, and you can get tired of singing, but you minister out of your heart. See, you got to give a heart to minister to a heart. Are you listening to me? Yeah, but if you're weak, you're going to sit up here and sound like a cock and crow. You're not going to smile. You're not going to serve. You're going to serve like a robot, like you're at a funeral service. And you're shaking people's hand all cold and calloused and casual. You need strength. Everybody say strength. And so God wants you to have strength to receive and strength to resist trouble, temptations from the enemy, both today and in life all year long. God wants you and I to have enough energy to do his will and finish his work during this time on the earth. He doesn't want us to run out of strength and energy in 2019 and in life beyond. Too often at the beginning of the year, we look just for a new diet plan or a new workout plan when we really need a renewed prayer plan. Because we need to live with full strength. Our battery level needs to be green and full. You got to stay spiritually charged up. See, the strength and energy I save today, I have it for tomorrow. When crisis comes, if you expended all your energy and strength, you can't stand when crisis of life comes because you have no strength. Isaiah even said, even the young folks who think they can throw at it physically will faint and be weary, and the young old men will utterly fall. So what was that telling us? That telling us no matter how young and strong you think you are, or no matter how old and wise you think and experienced you are, you got to go to the Lord and get strength. You can't depend on your knowledge and experience. You can't depend on your youth and muscles and your energy level physically. See, we've got to use wisdom and think and behave more energy efficiently. Because God knows the energy level of the congregation. Don't have any energy, I'm not going to have strength to witness anybody. Don't have any energy, I'm going to pull on the service and not draw on the service. Somebody with no energy, a lot of times, will have their ears closed and their heart closed to the word of God. They'll walk right out of here and won't do anything with it. not knowing that they're responsible for all the truth that they hear and that has been the church has been exposed to. Why? Because no strength can't receive. It's easy to fall asleep. It's easy to go lie dormant in your faith. It's easy where the power of God's flowing and moving, and you just like a dead wood. Sitting there, you can't catch on fire, and you can't be lit up. Amen. Man, you need to be on a resuscitator. We've got to be wise and understand our thermostatic nature. Everybody's differently. Some of us are more emotionally wound up and run our mouths a lot. You expend energy when you do all that stuff. So you got to know, one, your burn rate. How quickly do you burn in life when life is hard or when life hurts? What's your burn rate? Some of us are spiritually weaker than others. Or we burn out real quick when a problem and pressure and pain comes. What's your bounce back factor? How quickly do you rebound and reengage when you experience a hit or a hurt? Because let me tell you something, ministry and life is a contact sport. You will get hit, and the enemy will hurt you, try to hurt you. But how can you bounce back and rebound and re-engage from a hit or hurt? I mean, we all, if you watch a football game, the highlight reel of that one guy in the Saints, I mean, he took a headshot and pass interference. But he has to rebound from it. Some people are laying on the ground. And the Lord told me this week as I was thinking about it and reflecting on it. He said, you remember when you played football? Now, it's years ago, okay. I never played college football or anything. So years ago. Everybody say years ago. So I used to be a receiver and a cornerback. And one time I went across the middle, and, man, the linebacker was waiting for me. And I got cracked in the back. Oh, my goodness. Funny bone, everything hurt. But he said, did you lay down on the ground? No, I limped back to the huddle. I was hurting. So I was kind of off the next play on my blocking assignment. But I got hit. Man, I got hit. I got lit up. But the Holy Spirit said, you remember, you didn't stay on the ground. Because if you stay on the ground, you miss the next play and you cause your team a penalty for delay of game. Because you got time to run the next play. But some people squander their time by laying on the ground. When I got hit, I'm hurt. But you got to bounce back. Are y'all getting this today? Got to bounce back. How long does it take you to bounce back and get back to doing the will of God and the work of God on time, in time, and in full strength and energy? Some people say, well, when I get a hit or hurt, I mean, we looked at it and we kind of evaluated it from just a overview perspective. Some people took 3 or 4 weeks to get back. That's too long. You take a financial hit and you out for a month, because we shared it. Some people went a whole month, December, November, without tithing, without giving at all. You took a hit. But don't stay on the ground. Y'all not helping me today. Come on, y'all. Two brothers in there. Thank you, Brother Stephen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. How are you going to get back to your regular attendance, your regular giving of your heart, your head, and your helping hands, and your helpful, generous giving? Too weak, not strong enough if you stay too long. You miss the next play. You mix the next team effort because you choose to stay away because I'm weak, I'm tired. So find, friends, find God's grace today. It's sufficient to strengthen us every day and in every way this year. Everybody say it with me. I can do all.
I can do
all things through Christ,
which strengthens me
this year. So as you wait and look to the Lord, hopefully focus on the Lord, he will renew your strength and energy. So if you're weak today, it's time to get strengthened.
Amen.
Amen? If you're worn out and have low energy and no energy, it's time to get renewed in God's renewing strength and energy today. in Jesus' name. Let's stand. Let's all stand. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, we want specific.